Our scripture today comes to us from Matthew as we continue our series in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 14. Give your full attention to the holy and inspired Word of God. Now at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus. And he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter.' And the king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in the prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself." This is the word of the Lord. So we're picking up the story here where Herod, who is king of... Hello.
My microphone is not on.
How's that? Is that any better? Fantastic. Can you all hear at home? Yeah, give me the thumbs up if you can. Fantastic. Again, it's good to see a full screen of lots of people at home and here in the sanctuary. And so, Herod is the king. And he has heard about Jesus and all of his miracles. And of course, the Gospels are full of the miracles of Jesus. And he attributes this to some divine quality. John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. Now we know that the sign of the prophet, the Messiah, the one who was to come, the anointed one, would be that he would do many miracles. But the one who would come before him, his herald, was not a miracle worker. John the Baptist was a great prophet indeed, even as it says here in the text, where Herod, in his political savviness, understood, I got to be careful what I do with this John guy because I don't want to have riots on my hand. Because these people hold John to be a prophet. And indeed, he was a prophet. And several weeks ago in Matthew 11, we talked about the fact that Jesus said, if you will believe this, if you will accept it from me, John was the Elijah who was to come. Remember, Elijah was going to be that great prophet that was speaking forth the coming of the Messiah. In fact, Art, you'll know this because you grew up in a Jewish home. At the Passover, there was always one chair that was empty, and it was the chair of Elijah, because they knew that Passover was all about ushering in the coming of the Anointed One, the Messiah. And Jews to this day still anticipate the coming of their Messiah, and there's an empty chair, and it's called the chair of Elijah. So, Herod, this guy who's king, he believes that Jesus is an incarnation of this man that he killed. And then we hear the story about how it was that John was thrown into prison and ultimately martyred. Now, we see that this king, Herod, is a proud man. And as many kings are wont to, and maybe us a little bit sometimes, we're wanting our own way. And it just so happens that he decided that he saw the wife, Herodias, of his half-brother, Philip, and he decided that he wanted to have her. And so things worked out that way, and he took her as his wife. Now, John the Baptist was preaching on the other side of the Jordan River, and that so happened to be one of the places that Herod had jurisdiction over. And so John was making up a storm, telling people and telling Herod that what he was doing was unlawful, it was wrong, it was immoral, and so he had to shut him up. So he threw him in jail. Now, we don't know about how long that John the Baptist was in jail. He was there for a season. We know at one point that John becomes discouraged in his faith. And he sends his disciples, who had evidently come to visit him and maybe give him food. Who knows what kind of conditions were in those prisons 2,000 years ago. And John said to some of the disciples that came to him, go and ask Jesus if he really is the anointed one, the Messiah. And what does Jesus say to those disciples? You go back and tell John that the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the lame walk. Blessed is he who does not doubt on my account. John, I wonder what kind of a word of encouragement that must have been for John. He's like, yes, yes. Because sometimes we doubt in the dark places what we've seen in the light. Don't you agree? That John had seen the Spirit of the Lord, as it were, in the form of a dove, descend upon his cousin on the day of his baptism. And he had heard the voice of the Lord, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased. But see, he was in a dark place. And who knows, maybe he was experiencing a bout of depression. And that's when we doubt the things that we have seen and we have heard in the light. But Jesus speaks into that darkness. Jesus speaks into that discouragement and that despondency and that depression. And he says, don't doubt, only believe. But see, that doesn't necessarily mean that all the outcomes for believers are wonderful in this world, right? John has been thrown in jail, and he is about to be beheaded. Now, we pick up the story there. Herod is married to Herodias, and Herodias' daughter performs this dance on his birthday, and he has lots of lavish food and lots of friends and court officials and whoever. And then, foolishly and rashly, Herod says to the daughter of his now new wife, hey, whatever you want. I'm so impressed. Just ask me what you want. I'll give it to you. Now, probably never in a million years did he suspect that she would ask for such a grisly thing. What is a little girl, you know, a teenage girl, going to do with a bloody head, you know? But that's exactly how it went down. Because it says there in the scripture that she went to her mother and says, what should I ask for? And prompted by her mother said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter right here for everyone to see. So she was going to get her revenge, so to speak. Because she too must have been very embarrassed by the fact that this prophet of God was going around and telling all the people, hey, what's going on here is wrong, wrong, wrong. It's unlawful. It's immoral. Well, she succeeded. And sure enough, it says there in the scripture, Herod was embarrassed for his guests. And because he had made an oath, he's not going to break his oath. So he sends the guard, so to speak, down to the prison. John is beheaded, and the head is presented on a platter. How heinous, how disgusting, how gross. How wrong on every imaginable level was going on here. And John's disciples hear about it. And they come to collect his body. And they prepare his body for burial. And they bury their teacher, the one whom they have followed for several years. And they know that Jesus loved John. It wasn't just because they were cousins, or maybe they spent some time growing up together, but there was a fond affection between Jesus and John. And so they knew to send a message to Jesus that John had been killed. And what is Jesus' response? He goes away to get alone. There are just a few words in there, but they're loaded, aren't they? Imagine Jesus, yes, in his humanity, experiencing grief and loss and wanting to process that. And sometimes, and I know many of you have experienced grief and loss. And there have been times where you have just needed to get alone with God. And you'd have to cry, and you'd have to pour out your heart to God like the psalmist does in many places in the Old Testament. Maybe you even ask questions like, why, oh God? Why? God welcomes our questions. He loves us so much. You can be secure in his love for you. You can be honest and you can be real. And I just believe that that's what Jesus was doing when he got alone with God. And he was processing his grief and crying out to the Lord and praying. I wonder also, my brothers, because Jesus was this God-man. He was man-God. There were many realities of his life. In fact, he was just as we are, except without sin. That's what the scripture says. So whatever we experience emotionally, Christ also experienced in his humanity. But Jesus also had spiritual insight. Jesus knew the thoughts of people that came to him with questions. He perceived, he knew. Because, of course, the Spirit of God is living in him. He himself is the incarnation of God. And he knows. Now, he limited that at times, for sure. But I wonder, as I read this text, and as I was praying through this text, I wonder if there wasn't also an added level of grief and pain for Jesus. Because he just knew that Herod was not finished with his evil. Herod reigned from the death of his father, Herod the Great, till 39 AD. He had a long reign. That's a long time to do a lot of damage. And here he is in probably the early 30s, killing Jesus' friend and a great prophet of God. But not long from this incident, Herod himself would be entertaining Jesus in his court. Remember when Pilate sent Jesus to Herod, who happened to be in Jerusalem at the time, because he knew that Jesus came from Galilee, and that was the jurisdiction of Herod. So he sent Jesus to be interrogated, if you will, and maybe pronounced judgment upon by this king, King Herod Antipas. And Jesus may have seen, yeah, again, this man is going to have a role in my death. I wonder if there wasn't a trigger here in some way as this great prophet of God, John, was murdered. He gave himself for the testimony of Jesus, and now Jesus was giving his life, and he knew that Herod would have a role in that. And we know that Jesus came for that very purpose, correct? But even on the night that he was betrayed, he prayed earnestly because he foresaw the agony, the excruciating agony of his death on a cross. And he said, Lord, is there any other way? Is there any other way? And yet, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus gave himself fully and completely for us. And we see in this text this moment of Jesus' humanity, but also a moment of the incarnation of deity. His ability to see what was coming. And he knew that he had come for that. And here's the beauty. On the cross, Jesus saw you and he saw me. He saw all the ones that he would rescue, that he would redeem. Because the scripture says that he persevered for the joy that was set before him. Jeffrey, you are the Lord's joy. Bill, Jesus is looking at you in mind as he gives himself and his life for you, Cecil, and for each and every one of us. And as we partake in communion, we remember what Jesus did for us in the giving of his life, in the pouring out of his blood, so that we might be rescued. And not just rescued, but we would be taken out of darkness into light, out of being no people into being his people, a beloved people of God. And that is who we are in Christ.